Amen. John chapter 9, Jesus here is talking about an opportunity. An opportunity. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. An opportunity. Boy, the Bible is full of opportunities. We had a great opportunity last week with our missions conference to be a blessing. I always want to, it's amazing, we'll plan things so far in advance, and then all of a sudden, you know, you plan and plan and work and work and work, and then all of a sudden everything's over. And the question I always ask, did we do what we could with what we had? Did we do our best? Did we take advantage of the opportunity? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Of course, we know that his work was to come and die on a cross. And again, the thought there of an opportunity, and I want you to think about that today. I'm going to talk about that one word, opportunity. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching and challenge us, Lord, with the many opportunities we have in our lives and that the Bible talks about, opportunities that once they're passed, so many times we say, boy, I wish I would have, I could have done, and let us take advantage of opportunities, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Many, many, many years ago, there was a car dealership in Norway, and a fella came into that dealership, and the guy came in, he had on overalls and rubber boots, and just obviously a worker type, he came in, and he talked to the salesman there, and he said, you know, he said, I'd like to buy 16 cars. Well, the guy just kind of looked at him and he said, look, he said, I got customers coming. I don't have time for jokes and all that. You need to just go somewhere else. Well, the guy did. He walked right across the street and there was another car dealership. And he went to the other car dealer and that man paid, back in those days, a lot of money, $77,000 cash for 16 cars. And this man was part of a 16-man fishing crew who had a record season, and they wanted a discount on 16 cars. Boy, one salesman took advantage of an opportunity where the other one failed. You ever find yourself saying, well, I should have, I wish I would have? Well, you know, the Bible is full of opportunities. The Bible records many opportunities. We can't certainly go through all of them. But I want to just show you some things that I think about and I dwell on as far as opportunities. You know, every time we meet, there's a great opportunity. Lots of things are going on. We have folks here that are going through hard times. We have folks here that need answers to prayer. We have folks here that you're maybe not saved. You have an opportunity to be saved today. We have folks here that are maybe backslidden, far away from God. And God is about ready to deal with that. You have an opportunity before he does to get it settled. I mean, I just think of all the opportunities that are represented right here, right now. And I want to just go through several opportunities the Bible talks about. And the number one thing, and the first thing, and I know everybody would, oh, this is going to be on there. And that is simply the opportunity to be saved. You know, we all have had an opportunity. Now, it is possible somebody's here. You've never, this is your first time in a Baptist church, a church where the gospel's preached, and maybe it's your first time in church completely. I don't know. But an opportunity to be saved. I guarantee this, by the end of this service, everybody will have had an opportunity to get saved. If you're not saved, you will get that opportunity by the end of this service. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, you know, to be honest with you, when I was a teenager, I used to say, well, I'll do that one of these days. My Bible says, now is the time. Today is the time. And therefore, we have to recognize if you have never been saved, you have an opportunity right now. Right now. You say, well, surely I could wait. Well, here's what the Bible's saying. Now's the time. Today's the day. You know why? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You have no idea if tomorrow for you will ever come. It is in the news all the time. Somebody was killed in a car wreck. Somebody died of a heart attack. There are so many ways that our lives can end. And this is the time. Now is the day. Why? Because this is your opportunity. I got to thinking as I was studying this and thinking about this, you know, I think about all the times, all the opportunities that I had to get saved. And thank God, God gave me several opportunities. How many of you had several opportunities to get saved and you got finally got, okay, good, many of you did. You know, for some, it is amazing how many opportunities God gives us. And yet, you know, maybe the first time we heard how Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us, maybe we cursed at the person. We told him to get lost. We said, I'm not interested in that. Oh, I've got plenty of time. We came up with all kinds of reasons why we did not want to get saved. And it amazes me as a pastor now all these years why anybody wouldn't get saved. Doesn't that amaze you? I mean, if God says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and he offers you that gift, and it costs you nothing, why in the world wouldn't you take it? Why wouldn't you get saved? I'm not trying to turn you into a Baptist. I'm not trying to get you in the water to baptize. I am telling you that God is offering you a gift called salvation, called eternal life, and you can have it. You say, well, I don't have any money. It costs you nothing. It cost him his son dying on a cross. And so you have an opportunity to receive that gift. That's how when I lead someone to the Lord, I always come down to that gift and I say, is there any reason why you wouldn't receive that gift? You know, seriously, is there any reason why you would? Well, you know, I've been pretty bad. That's why he died on the cross, because we are pretty bad. That's why he died. He died to pay for our sins. I think about all the opportunities. I've told the story many times of the big Wesleyan camp that I went to in Indiana when I was a teenager. And I was a long-haired hippie, wicked, cussed and swore and lived a wicked life. But I went to that camp because there were pretty girls. Amen. I mean, that was the promotion. You know, what were they offering a free bicycle? Oh, phooey on that. They had pretty girls. That's why I went, and I went to that camp, and boy, that preacher started preaching. You've heard me tell the story many, many times. There were several thousand kids there, huge Wesleyan camp, and preacher started preaching, and this guy was a gangster in Chicago, and God had miraculously saved his soul, and I'm listening, but I'm also goofing off and trying to, you know, a lot of times people goof off in church and they look at the songbook and look at the bulletin because they just really are under so much conviction because they know they're lost, they know they need to get saved, they know Jesus loves them and Jesus died for them, but they just kind of want to say, hey, leave me alone. And that was what I was doing. I was goofing off, and all of a sudden that guy gave the invitation, said every head bowed, every eye closed, and he walked down, several thousand teenagers, and he walked down that aisle, walked down the middle, and walked right up to me. Now, honestly, I wasn't the only hippie there. This was in the 70s. I wasn't the only one that looked rough. I wasn't the only one that looked like a heathen. I mean, everybody around me looked like, but he walked up to me. And I still can remember the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God dealing with me, and there was nowhere I could turn. I couldn't goof off with my buddies. They were all hiding. You know, the evangelist walks down the aisle to you, they kind of all split. And there I stood, and I remember him saying to me, son, he said, Jesus loves you, and he died for you. Why don't you get saved? Sweat, literally, and I tell this story all the time. I had one of those wide watch bands. Remember wide watch bands, suede? And it had little dangly things. I was cool, cool, cool. And sweat, I remember watching sweat dripping off of each of those little dangly things coming down my arm. I was so shook up. I had an opportunity. Wouldn't that have been great if I'd have gotten saved then? Wouldn't that have been wonderful if I'd have gotten saved then, but I didn't get saved then? I said no. Now, folks, honestly, I've thought many, many times it's a humbling thing to think, had I died after that, I would have gone to hell. But I had an opportunity. Oh, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. I'm telling you today, God gave me another chance. But he may not give you another chance. This may be your third or fourth or fifth chance. I don't know. I remember the etymology class. I positioned myself in front of the prettiest girl in the class. Never forget it. And she was sitting behind me in etymology class. And I thought, boy, you know, she is a pretty girl. And I'll never forget the day, Brother Tim, that I gave her probably my best line. You know, I turned around and said, "Hey, baby, how's it going? You know, I'd swim the deepest sea for you," or something like that. I don't know. I use great lines. But I turned around and I said something like that, and she handed me, I thought, got her. It looked like a MasterCard. And I thought, wow, she's giving me a charge card. This is working well, you know? But it said on there, "Give Christ charge of your life." Amen. I thought, oh no, one of them. What a waste of a pretty girl. That's what I thought back then. Honestly, I did. And on the back of that, there were those words again. You're a sinner. You deserve punishment for your sin. Jesus died to pay for your sin. Call upon Jesus to save you. And there it was again. And boy, there that sweat started to pour again. Are you listening to me? I had an opportunity, but I didn't get saved then. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Had I died, I would have gone straight to hell. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God I got another opportunity. And by the way, the next opportunity that I received, I said no again when a youth director cornered me and talked to me and literally begged me to get saved. But it wasn't long after that until I took advantage of the opportunity when I realized Jesus was coming again and I was not ready and I was scared to death and I got saved. Thank God. Thank God. I'm just saying, now is the time. It's a great time. The story, many, many stories, and I'll just tell one in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Many stories tell us about our salvation and an opportunity to be saved, but maybe the best story is Noah's Ark. There was an opportunity. You understand, and we've read the story so many times. We understand the ark and how big it was, and I love Chad Dahlberg, that one Vacation Bible School, literally outlining the size of the ark on our property, and it just was such a blessing to just get an idea of how big that boat really was. And you know, you think about that, and all those years they're building the ark, and 100 years, Noah and his sons are preaching the Bible, and people are being given an opportunity. Hey, come into the ark! There's a flood! Come to the ark! There's a flood! And they had opportunity to get on the ark. And just Noah and his family got on the ark. And all those other people didn't take advantage of the opportunity. And the Bible says God shut the door. And that was it. That was it. And then the rain fell. And the waters rose. And the people died. Because they didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved today, please get this. This is your opportunity. You have a wonderful opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Oh, you say, you know, what would people think? People here would rejoice. And the Bible says the angels in heaven, they'll rejoice. People will rejoice when you get saved. I'm telling you, this is your opportunity. Please understand, today is the day of salvation. It is your opportunity to be saved. What's another opportunity in the Bible? How about this? Number two, to invest. Matthew 25, you know the story. Matthew 25, not only do we have an opportunity to be saved, but we have an opportunity to invest. Matthew 25 and verse 14. The Bible talks about an opportunity here to invest, a great picture of investing and a picture of what we do with the talents. Talent here, of course, is representing money, but in our case, God, not only our talents, but not only our money, but our abilities that He gives us. And here's an opportunity. Verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with his. In other words, he invested. He used those five talents and he made other five talents. So he invested his five talents, he made five more talents. Likewise, he that received two, he gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You understand the reckoning with them. Reckoning is to get a balance of what you did with what you had. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm concerned that I want to please God to do whatever I can with what I have. I may not have what somebody else has. I may not be able to preach like Dr. Tom Williams. I may not be able to do things that other people can. I might not be able to work on a bus like Brother Storm. I may not be able to, God hasn't called me necessarily to go to Africa. And so I'm not going to be accountable for those kind of things. But God has given me an ability. God has given me a talent. God has given me an opportunity to do something because I'm still alive. I can do something. And by the way, I can do all that I can do. And I can't do all that Brother Korea can do, but I can do all that I can do. I can't do all that Brother Tim Cook can do, but I can do all that I can do. I can't do all that Dan Piper can do, but I can do all that I can. Are you listening to me? You say, we spend so much time looking around at what everybody else does, but you're not accountable for what everybody else does. You're just accountable for what you do. God's given you an opportunity. Are you doing what you can do for the cause of Christ? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you doing what God wants you to do? It is literally an opportunity to invest. You ever not invest when you should have? I don't know if we have any people that do stocks or anything like that. You know, our typical folks, we don't have a whole lot of money, but I'm sure there's some that have investments in different things. You ever miss it? You know, I remember Amazon when it first came out. We all said, that'll never make it. Really? One time my wife and I, we were driving down the interstate, and this was years ago. I don't know how many years. She likes this story. It was years ago. And I'm always one to say, hey, we ought to do this. You know, this is a great idea. But anyway, we're driving down the interstate. And she said, honey, I'm thirsty. This was years ago. She said, I'm really thirsty. And I said, yeah, that's good. Maybe there will be a rest stop here. She goes, I just want some water. If I could just have some water. And it, right then, right there, years ago, I said, you know what? They ought to can water. Now, that was back before anybody did plastic anything. Everything was in cans. By the way, we remember when everything was in bottles. But, so don't laugh at my can. But I said, you know, if they had water in a can, in a container, I said, that'd be a great idea. You know what she did? She looked at me. And wheels were turning in my mind. I'm ready to invest. I'm ready to open up my tap, amen, and pour some water in bottles and sell it. She said, honey, nobody would ever buy water in bottles. We'd never have to have another fundraiser. Are you listening? Oh, what could have been if I'd have just listened to the Holy Spirit? You say, oh no, Pastor, you don't understand. You have to have special water. Go ahead and keep believing that. Anyway, opportunity to invest. Now, we laugh about all those things, and I guarantee somebody here is thinking, yeah, and there was this one stock, it came out, and I could have, but you didn't. But, listen to me. When you were born, God made you the way he chose to make you. Amen. You have an opportunity to do something with your life. Everybody in this room, don't look at anybody else. You draw a circle around you. God made you to do something for him. Wait a minute. You say, oh no, preacher. You know, listen, the text, John chapter 9, it's about a fella born blind. And I guarantee there were people saying, oh, nobody would ever do anything for him. He can't amount to anything. He never will. And yet the Bible records a whole lot of verses about that fella and how he brought glory to his God. And he accomplished what he was here to accomplish. Now, I ask you a question. Have you invested your talents for God? Amen. You know, churches are full of people that, well, I'm just waiting on the pastor to ask me. Fooey, fooey, fooey. You need to volunteer. You need to say, you know what? I can do this. Can you sing? Can you smile? Can you shake hands? Can you work? Amen. Can you do labor? Can you speak? Can you teach? Oh, how many people have sat in churches and said, well, I could teach better than that. Hello! Where are you? Amen. Can you be hospitable? Gotcha. What are you good at? Can you do it for Jesus? All over this place, can you clean toilets? We just had two volunteers. You heard that, didn't you? Hello. Where are you? I'm just saying God gave you a talent. God gave you an ability. God made you to, you have an opportunity. Here it is. Jesus said it's day now. There's going to be a time. I'm going to tell you, we sing the song, oh, I wish I had given him more. And I watch people sing, and I think, you're not thinking about that thing. Because I guarantee, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. It's when you look on his face, you'll wish you had given him more. Now you will. So give it. Take advantage of the opportunity. Number one, opportunity to be saved. Number two, opportunity to invest. How about this? Number three, and this kind of ties in with the last one, opportunity to serve. Jesus said, while it's day. While it's day, night is coming. You have an opportunity to serve. Do you understand? We won't run buses in heaven. Won't need to. There won't be soul winning in heaven. Won't need to be. There won't be vacation Bible school in heaven. Won't need to. I know you'll be disappointed, but the quality gifts will just come freely. You won't have to go to vacation Bible school. Opportunity to serve. Oh, I think about last week and all the people busy, 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 serving, 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 taking advantage of an opportunity. I think about Kathy Morin's group and their little bake sales they do all the time, and she gets all excited and, oh boy, you know, pumpkin bread for sale and cookies for sale, and you know, big old heavy people are saying, I shouldn't buy these, let me have it all, you know. And then Kathy's going, yay! And I can hear her, you know, and she's all excited as this person with diabetes walks off with all her cookies. And people are working, they're baking, they're doing all these different things, and they're serving God. And somebody might look at them and say, what in the world? They're taking advantage of an opportunity. Amen. And did it pay off the other night when you almost forgot to give them the check? Oh, and the Harrises are open and their eyes get big, and it's like, oh, amen. But it was an opportunity, you know, an opportunity to serve. Jesus in Matthew 26, just turn over a page, perhaps, verse 36, he tells his disciples, he says, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And when he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He said, tarry and watch. Amen. And he's saying, I'd like you to pray with me here. And he went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. One of the great prayers of the Bible. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And he had an opportunity, and he slept. I'm telling you, folks, many people are asleep to serving God. We have an opportunity. Jesus said it's day. This is it. This is our opportunity. Why don't we take advantage? Amen. So many. It should be our top priority. Amen. It should be the most important thing. You know, it's interesting. It goes on here, and Jesus, he tells them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, verse 41. But notice what he says in verse 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, watch this now. He says, sleep on now. That was their one opportunity to do what he asked them to do at that time. Disciples, would you watch and pray? Would you watch and pray? They said, all right. And that was the only opportunity. Because then later he just says, okay, just sleep on. Now, I'm not getting on anybody because you're tired or anything like that, but let me tell you something, folks. We have an opportunity. Do you know we still can run buses? I hear people all the time, well, they're going to make it against the law one of these days. Yeah, they might, but it isn't now. So why don't you get your CDL? Amen. Amen. Right? Why don't you be a captain? Okay, Jim Bailey and Shirley, you know, they're not able to right now. So folks are kind of filling in. But who's going to just step up and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. Because we can. We hear all the time, well, they took prayer out of the schools here. Pretty soon they're going to take it out of our... Okay, well then pray. Because you can now. Amen. Amen. Oh, you know, we have such a great opportunity right now. One of these days, you know, we saw them make an ordinance in Madison Township, you know, about door-to-door salespeople. And so our teens were out soul winning in the area, and a policeman approached the van, brother, I think it was Brother Stewart, wasn't it? And started talking about that. And all we have to, you know, we had to just get it all worked out, do things properly, and not get mad or anything like that. They're going to take away soul winning. You've already taken it away. If you don't do it. Well, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Are you taking advantage of your opportunity? We left Bern, Indiana in 1993, a church we started. I pastored there for 10 years. We started it, bought every chair, every offering plate, every little communion tray. We bought it. We were involved in that. We started that church. Every building, every bus, everything, we were involved in that. And we left that because God called us to Indian Hills Baptist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana, 1993. And our hearts were broken. They were devastated. We left a church of 350. Our first service there, we had 17, 19. There's a big difference between 350 and 19. It's a huge difference. I'll never forget. It was devastating. But there was a young man there, and he had a little ponytail. And he was a pretty big boy. He went to public school, played football on the public school football team, and talked Southern like everybody down there. And it was just a whole new world. But that young man came, and our hearts were knit to one another, and I was able to work with him. And he barely went to church, but we started playing volleyball on Sunday nights after church out in the front yard of the church because it's warm all the time there. And that boy started coming and listening. And he got under conviction. He and I went soul winning together, and I tell the story about the dog, the German Shepherd, that about took my leg off, and the Holy Spirit saved the day. But McDonald was with me then. And I remember in pastor school when God called Donald to preach, and his whole life was changed. And he went on to Bible college, and now he's the pastor of that church. Why? Because somebody took advantage of an opportunity. Well, wait a minute, pastor, you're telling you left 350 people to go down to 19? I want to remind you of Philip in the book of Acts, who left a revival in Samaria to go to one man in a desert. If that's the opportunity that God gave you, take advantage of the opportunity. I don't know about the revival in Samaria. You ever wonder what happened to the people there? What did any of them do? All we know about is there was one fella in a desert that got saved. Amen. Are you taking advantage of this opportunity? You have an opportunity. You know, maybe you're one of those that, you know, I could teach. I could then take advantage. It's time for folks to rise up and say, Pastor, I'd be glad to do this. We have a fellow, and I don't see him here today. He's almost always here, Richard Laux. When I first came here, he's very quiet. Never said. In fact, he wouldn't even come to church, and hardly ever here. And recently, you know, within the last few years, he started coming, and all of a sudden, you know, in the last few years, he said, "What can I do?" And Brother Dale said, "Oh, what can you do?" And we've got, he's doing all kinds of little things. You don't even notice. Most don't even notice. But I'm going to tell you, there's one who does notice. Amen. And that's our God. All these vines out here, Richard just came whenever he could. You know, couldn't do it all at once. Came and took out all those vines, get that all ready for the stones and the plants out there. I'm just saying, he took advantage of an opportunity. And we all said, well, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. But what can you do? Let's do it. Opportunity. Real quick, number four. Number one is opportunity to get saved. Number two, opportunity to invest. Number three, opportunity to serve. Number four is an opportunity to have a complete victory. I get so frustrated when people just about win, and then they don't. Complete victory, 2 Kings 13, verse 18. And I will be brief on this. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18. I love this story. And yet I see myself here so many times. 2 Kings 13 and verse 18. He said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. So he's shooting these arrows down to the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed. So he shot to the ground three times with these arrows after the man of God told him to take the arrows and shoot them to the ground. And so three times he pulled out three arrows, he shot them down to the ground, and the Bible says he stopped. Verse 19, the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. He had seven arrows in the bag. But who knows why he only shot three. It's one of the puzzles, you know, and yet I watch people all the time. Who again, this could have been complete victory over a bitter enemy, Syria. God was going to do it. God was going to bless. And this king, for whatever reason, he didn't shoot all of the arrows. I think about folks who settle for partial victories. Well, I read through my Bible for a month. Yeah, I read my Bible every day for a month. I prayed every day for a week. You know, I tithe for half a year. I just don't get it. Well, but I was in the bus ministry for a couple of months. How about just keep going? In 2 John 8, it says, look to yourselves that we receive the things that we've wrought, the things we've worked for, that we don't lose those things, that you lose not the things you've worked for. Why in the world? It's like somebody, you know, that just decides, well, I've paid and paid and paid and paid and paid on my house, but now, you know, I'm just tired of making payments. I'm just going to let it go. Man, don't lose what you worked for. People start family altars and then they quit. Some of you, I guarantee you got excited. Brother Williams talked about it. You started a family altar. And so you're as a family, you're reading the Bible. It's what we should do. And you're praying together. It's what we should do with our kids. Amen. And you'll do it for about a month and quit. Some of you start having devotions. You'll do it for about a month and quit. Some tithe every other week. Don't get it. You know? It's a partial victory. Some, you know, they'll join the choir and they'll sing a couple times and then they'll fizzle. Alka-Seltzer Christianity is all over the place. I hate it. And I guarantee there are many that'll say, you know what? I'm going to trust God to give this amount of money to missions for this year, and I'm going to believe God for it, and you will for 2 weeks. And you'll be just like that king shooting three arrows when you could have shot seven. And the Bible says even five or six would have done it. And we're so often, we're so on and so hit and so miss. And it's an embarrassment to God Almighty. I think it's what he talks about when he talks about lukewarm Christians. We'll say, you know what, I'm going to start being faithful to church. And then something comes on TV and all of a sudden that's out the door. Complete victory. God wants you to have a complete victory. It's an opportunity. Opportunity. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, if you only get a partial victory, then you lose. Amen. We are more than conquerors. Why don't we conquer? Why don't we win? I close with this. John chapter 20, verse 19. You might know this is coming. John 20 and verse 19. Number one is an opportunity to be saved. If you're not saved, you have that opportunity right now. Number two is an opportunity to invest. God's given you talents and abilities that you can use for his glory. Number three is an opportunity to serve. So many things you could be doing for the cause of Christ. Number four is an opportunity to have complete victory and just to have the total victory. I can't stand a team that says, well, we won the first half. That should be good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough to win three quarters but lose the game. It's not good enough. It's to have complete victory. There are no moral victories if you don't have complete victory. But number five is John 20, verse 19, and the story is told. And this poor fella, you know, I think Thomas was a good guy, and I think Thomas was a good Christian. But I want to remind you that he is known as Doubting Thomas. We all know him. Now, I think when we get to heaven, we're not going to call him, oh, you're Thomas. I don't think we're going to do that. I think we're going to be bigger than that. But in verse 19, the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And here's Jesus coming after the resurrection. And he walks in, the doors are shut, so obviously, that's pretty special. He just walked through with the door shut. And he's there in the midst of them. And here's Jesus. But guess what? Thomas is watching the football game. Thomas is watching the baseball playoffs. Thomas is watching whatever that primetime show is that you all, we have to see it. Thomas is at a party somebody's throwing. I don't know where Thomas is. Maybe he's at Kohl's because he got his 30% off discount. I don't know where he is. I just know this. He's not where he was supposed to be. And so the last point here is an opportunity to receive a blessing. How many people miss out of the blessings God has? Thomas missed out. Verse 25, the Bible, or verse 24, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You know why Thomas is doubting Thomas? Because of what he says later on, obviously. But it's because he wasn't there. If he'd have been there, he'd have believed. Just like the other. Wow. But he wasn't there. You know why you're a doubting Thomas sometimes? It's because you're not there. We have it on video, I believe, when the Deniuses stood up here and after we went through a unique little program that ended up not working. Who cares? Amen. They received something that I wouldn't give anything to miss it. I am so glad I was right there. and got to see it. I'm so glad I was right there when Brother Storm opened up that check. I'm so glad I was right there when his wife saw that quilt. Do you understand? You talk about a blessing. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. On my favorite show, Barney's best friend's cousin's aunt's dog's friend's best friend's nurse's cat got stuck in the garage. We found out what happened. Oh, I got news for you. You missed out because of whatever it was. Thomas, if you'd have seen Jesus walk through the door, I think probably you would have believed. Right? If you'd have seen Jesus walk through the door and say, "Peace be unto you," I don't think you would have doubted. You know who causes trouble? It's people that are missing the blessings. It's always like that, Brother Korea. Brother Denias, you've seen it. You know this. It's always like that. People say, "Well, there's just nothing going on at this here church." Really? Were you at? No. Were you at? No. Did you? No. Did you see the invitation win? No. That's why you doubt. Opportunity to receive a blessing. In verse 1, the church was assembled. Are you here when we assemble? You ought to be. Because you're going to miss it. I always think that. I think, in one sense, I'm dreading going down to preach. It's been scheduled for months, and I've thought of calling, saying, "You know what? I don't want to miss this after our missions come. Things are happening. I don't want to miss something that's happening. There's people I'm praying for to make decisions. I don't want to miss that." You know, I'm serious. It's a hard thing. I guarantee I wouldn't miss it for a football game. I wouldn't miss it for a baseball game. I wouldn't miss it for Aunt Frieda's best friend's cousin's dog's cat getting stuck in the garage or whatever it may be, some foolishness on TV. I guarantee I wouldn't miss it for that. I wouldn't miss it for Kohl's having a sale. Oh, folks, don't miss out on the opportunities. We all know the story of King David. The Bible's very clear. It was a time when kings go forth to battle. And the Bible says David tarried. Who's the king? David. It's like there might be signs all over the place. Kings are going forth to battle now. It's that time. This is the season for the king to go forth to battle. David, what are you doing? I think I'm going to stay home this time. David, it's that time of year when kings go forth to battle. I said, "What are you doing, O King David?" "You know, I've got other things going on. I got stuff going on. We got our best friends coming over. We got things happening." David, you're going to miss out. You're supposed to go to battle. It's that time. And we know the story. David stayed home and he committed adultery and he had the woman's husband murdered. But he also missed a great opportunity, because in the judgment from God Almighty, God said to David, "I would have given you such and such things." "What do you mean, God?" "I had a whole bunch of stuff for you. You could have had. But you missed your opportunity." Folks, we're missing opportunities all the time. Let's think about it today. What kind of opportunities are you missing? Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed.